This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Father, we will not boast. We will not glory in our name. We are safe, safe with you. Because we know you. We've got a relationship with you, Father. This is also what brought us over here this afternoon. That relationship that we've got with you, Father. It's not the structure of the church. It's not a clock who says it's 4 o'clock. But it's you, Father. That's why we're here. This is why we're here as a family as well. To meet our brothers and sisters again. That together we can praise your name and glorify your name. Father, as we come, we want to listen to what you want to share with us today. I pray that our hearts are going to be open. That we're ready to receive from you, Father. The enemy most probably is going to try to disturb it and trying to draw our attention away. But Father, you've given us authority as well in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm using that authority what you've given us. And I say, enemy, I bind you. You're not going to steal any of the thoughts this afternoon. You're not going to disturb anything this afternoon. We've got an appointment with the Creator of heaven and earth. We want to hear what he is on his heart. Thank you, Father. Thank you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Marco and Yolandi. It was a little bit of a Spanish flavor today. Today it's all about God. And actually I should say, let your life be about God and say, enjoy the rest of the week and then you can go. But okay, I'm going to spend a little bit more time. I'm going to tell you why and what the Lord has shared with me and what I would like to share with you as well. Because our lives should be about God. Now I'm going to start a little bit closer at home. We are at the time of the year when a lot of firms or and businesses are closing this time of the year for the summer break. And then you also get those type of appraisals where they're having a look and see what have you done this year and were you up to date or you're reaching the goal where the company has set for you. Are you perfect? Anyone perfect maybe? Oh no, don't raise your hands because no. None of us is perfect. Even at work, we are not perfect. There's always something where we can improve on. But I'm asking the question, that's my first question. Have I arrived according to God's KPA, key performance appraisals? Am I close enough to God? If God was going to evaluate me now, would I be close enough to him or not? Would God say, come on, let me just show you where you still have got to improve, where I still would like to see improvement with you? If you're not at work, but if you are at a university, you must probably have written exams or you submitted thesis. And then you also get a certain percentage back. On average, in the Netherlands, it is if you're 5.5, they round it off to 6, and then you pass. If it's 5.4, they round it off to 5, and you fail. My father-in-law was a very clever man. And when Renee came with her report back to him, and she had, let's say, a 61%, then he would say, you only knew 61% of those questions they've asked you. So you didn't know 49% of those questions, what they've asked you. Coming back again, what is the percentage what God is asking us for his exam? Can we say we are saved? As what we were singing the last sentence over there, we are safe. But can we say we are safe? Are we saved? Are we on God's side or are we not? On both of those questions, I'm not going to answer now. I'm going to talk about it a little bit later. And first I would like to have a look and see what in Scripture is. What is Scripture guiding us? What is it what God is looking for from us? What is his wish for us in our lives? And there are two different parts what I'm going to have a look at. And the first one is in Luke 4. I was privileged a little bit more than a week ago that I could go to South Africa, that I could attend the pastor summit over there. And And it was the last night. It was from Thursday till Friday. And I was going to fly on a Friday. So I thought, okay, I better get in some sleep, because in the plane, with my length, it's not convenient. I cannot afford business class. So I'm trying to get some sleep in. But then the Lord woke me up at 3 o'clock at night, 2:59 to be exact. And the Lord said, I must read Luke 4. And I said, Lord, can I sleep? Can't we wait? I just would like to sleep and get some sleep in, because I know I'm going to have a short night in the plane. The Lord said, read Luke 4. So then I started reading Luke 4, and as I was busy with it, the Lord revealed to me what was actually written in there, what he wanted to show me. And I had to share that with the pastors over there as well. And as I was busy with this sermon, I felt again, it's not only for the pastors, it's for the congregation, but it's also for each and every individual person. It's important. Luke 4, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to jump what verses is concerned. And it starts, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, where he was baptized by John the Baptist, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward that he had that when they had ended, he was hungry. Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. We know the dove which came on Jesus, that he was filled with the Holy Spirit, but then he was also led by the Holy Spirit. Now, how can you be led by the Holy Spirit? Only if you are in contact with the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, how is the Holy Spirit going to lead you? So Jesus was open to be led by the Holy Spirit. And we say, yes, but we believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So yes, Jesus most probably had a very quick, maybe even faster than fiber type of connection with the Holy Spirit. I don't know, maybe. But still, he was led by the Holy Spirit, as written over here. Led by the Holy Spirit. And then he went into the desert where he was tempted by the enemy. And then the devil said to him, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. And then I'm just quickly going to have a look at the three answers which Jesus gave, which are all coming out of Deuteronomy. The first one, command these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered him and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So we've got to live by every word of God. Now, how can we live by every word of God? If we listen to God. If we're not going to listen to God, and if we're not going to spend time in the Bible, then we're missing the word of God. So every word of God, we must try and capture it. That we are open to receive, as what Jesus was open to receive from the Holy Spirit, or where he had to go, but also that we're reading the word, reading the Bible. But the enemy, the devil, is not finished. He comes with the next one. Then he says, okay, if you do this and this, and then he finishes, and he says, if you will worship before me, everything what you see, it will be yours. And then Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Nothing else. No worldly stuff. Not what the enemy was offering him. A nice car and a house and so on and so on. No. Him only. We must listen and read every word of God, and we must focus on him only. Then he brought him up to the temple, and then he said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. And then Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. We shall not tempt the Lord your God. This is coming out of Deuteronomy 6, verses 16. And the verse over there says, as you tempted him in Massah. And what happened in Massah with the Israelites, they had no water over there. And they started complaining, because they actually said, is God with us, or is he not with us anymore? They just now had all the miracles in Egypt, just went through the Red Sea, and now they start doubting. They doubt the plan of God. They were questioning the plan of God. So they're not tempting actually God, but they're putting a question mark behind God, and they're putting a question mark behind God's plan. They were doubting God's power. That's not what we can do. God's plan is always superior. God's plan is always perfect. And we always follow him. They got the water, the Israelites, and they carried on. And it was in the beginning of their 40 years what they were in the desert. And then the next sentence it says, and now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him, from Jesus, until an opportune time. Which shows us that the enemy is not finished. He's coming back each and every time. He's not going to say, okay, sorry, I missed it, I lost it over there, and I'm leaving Jesus for the rest of the time. No, we will see in a few verses down the line, he was back again. The enemy is not going to stop. He continuously is trying us, who are involved with God's kingdom, to try and stop us, to try and get us off track. He's not lazy. He's got a lot of energy. And he knows each and every day is one day less. And what was actually coming out of this part, and specifically the first part, the word what Lord gave to me, what I had to give to the pastors, is that we've got to listen to God. But we also have got to listen what God is actually telling us what we've got to do. And I said, it was a little bit difficult for some people to listen to, but I said, Shofar congregation, it's not about numbers. But it's about doing what God is telling you to do. It's very easy to go for numbers. Because if we've got to go for numbers, then statistically we'll have a look and see, okay, if that one preaching, or what type of preaching has been done, okay, that is working, so that's how we're going to increase the numbers. No. We do what God is telling us to do. But God has got a certain plan. And the plan what God has got for what I could share over there with the Shofar Church, with the pastors over there, for some churches specifically, is for us also applicable over here. We are a spear point. And a spear point is penetrating into something to open something up that God's kingdom can come over here. This is something which has been prophesied over us quite a few times, and we see it continuously. We could see it last Tuesday as well with intercession, where the Lord gave to us 7 places we've got to go into Utrecht, which we've got to put up strongholds for God. Not breaking strongholds of the enemy, but putting up strongholds for God. The presence of God, it can be represented on 7 places in Utrecht. Jeremiah is talking about breaking down and building and planting when he says in Jeremiah 1, 9 to 10, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set over the nations and over the kingdom to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. So the last thing what God told us now is that we've got to build up. We've got to put strongholds for God, representations of God in this town over here. When we're going to do it and so on, I'll leave it in the capable hands of my wife. The Lord has anointed Shofar Church and Shofar Utrecht as well for that spear point. So yes, I'm having a look at the figures on Sunday and say, okay, how many people are in the church? We are here because God has sent us over here. We want to do what God is telling us to do. It's all about God. When Jesus was finished with that first part, then he started with his ministry actually. So after being baptized, being filled with the Holy Spirit, having a fight with the enemy, if I can put it that way, he started with his ministry. He didn't start with his ministry before his fight with the enemy. Anyway, the enemy is lost, but then he started the ministry. Verse 14, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. Again, in the power of the Spirit. He's being led by the Spirit. He's not going to say, okay, strategically, let me have a look and see if I do that part or that part, I'm going to be accepted over here or there. No. He's going what the Spirit is telling him to do. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out throughout the surrounding regions, and he he taught in the synagogue, being glorified by all. And what did Jesus say? Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Same as what John the Baptist said as well. Jesus said it also in Galilee and at other places. And then he goes to Nazareth. So he came to Nazareth when he has been brought, where he had been brought up. And at his customs was, he went into the synagogue on a Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found a place where it was written. Then he says again, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This is Jesus' job description. This is what Jesus had to do. According to this, he has been, I nearly would to say, he has been evaluated. This was his KPIs, we can nearly say, what Jesus has been doing. And we know the story of Jesus. He was perfect. He did all those things. He was an example for us. Now we can say, okay, that was Jesus' job description. It's our job description as well. Exactly the same. We've got to follow what Christ has been showing us. We are Christians. We're followers of Christ. We can say, okay, it was for the apostles and for the disciples who later became apostles. It's for us as well. We can do exactly the same. Then I'm jumping a few verses. Then Jesus is showing that he is casting out an unclean spirit. He went then to Capernaum, and there was a man with the spirit of an unclean demon. Verse 35, but Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet. Again, showing the authority what Jesus had. He said to the demon, be quiet. The demon had to listen to that instruction and come out of him. When the demon had thrown him in the midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. So we can see the ministry. We can see what he's sending out unclean spirits, what he's doing deliverance. Now he's coming to healing. And he's healing Peter's mother-in-law. Verse 38. Now he arose from the synagogue, that is on that day then, which means it's on a Sabbath, and he entered Simon's house. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her, and he rebuked the fever. Again, he used the authority. He rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and served him. What an awesome mother-in-law Peter had over there. Immediately after being healed, stood up, didn't go in a type of a period where she had to recover, immediately jumped in, made food. Awesome mother-in-law. Many healed after the Sabbath sunset. On that same day, when the sun was setting, which means the Sabbath was over, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them, and he healed them. Again, there we can see the healing as well, what Jesus is doing. And then he preaches, and he carries on in Galilee. Now, when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place. He wanted to speak to the Father. He wanted to be on his own. He wanted to communicate with God. And then the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I've been sent. And he was preaching in the synagogue of Galilee. As we could see on Jesus' job description, the first thing was to bring the gospel. And he says it over here again. Because for this purpose I've been sent, preaching, bringing the gospel. Because if somebody gets saved, you can see that's when heaven is standing still. The others are following it. That is the deliverance and then the healing. And if we see it in the type of a picture there, we can see that Jesus, when he started with the ministry, he starts in Luke 4, he starts with the ministry, he's doing the sending out the demons. He's doing the healings, and then it finishes off again with the preaching, if we take a look at Luke 4 then. And Jesus was an example. He was telling us and showing us what we had to do. And it wasn't that he didn't have problems when he was over there in Nazareth, where he was reading actually his job description over there. Afterwards, they got so angry and they wanted to throw him off the cliff. But he walked out because the time wasn't right yet. The enemy tried to get him out of the way, but he carried on. The second part that I would like to have a look at this afternoon is Romans 8, verse 1 to 5. Verse 1 starts, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." There's no condemnation. There's therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ. If we are in Christ Jesus, we are in a relationship with Christ, the faith that we've got in him. And if we've got that faith in him, then we also know that it's not only Jesus, but it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we're going to have the Holy Spirit as well. And the Holy Spirit is guiding us. The Holy Spirit is telling us what we've got to do. And where he also says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Because that one is going to stop at a certain time when we do the law of sin. But if we do the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, there's going to be eternal life if we're going to be guided by him. And if we take 1 and 2 and we put the two verses together, then we can say, walking according to the Spirit. That's what 1 and 2 is telling us over there. We've got to walk according to the Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit is guiding us. Verse 3 starts with, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of a sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." And sometimes you maybe say, "Oh, wait a moment, yes, a lot of difficult terms and terminology and so on. Just absorb it. I'll just now summarize it again. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak." It wasn't the law which was weak. It was the people who had to do the law. They were weak. They were weak in the flesh. They couldn't manage to do the law what God was giving them to do. And that's when he sent Jesus. So Jesus died for us at the sin, died for us for all our sins. If we take 3 and 4 together, we can say, what we couldn't do, God did it for us. The first one is then walking according to the Spirit. The second one, what we couldn't do, God did it for us. Verse 5, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." We've got to put our mind, and we've got to decide, where are we going to put our mind on? Is it going to be on the flesh, or is it going to be on life according to the Spirit, that we are busy with the things of the Spirit? They say, the man is as the mind is, and the man is including man and woman. So as what we are thinking, we are basically doing. We are basically what we are. And our mind is continuously busy. We're continuously thinking about something. And you must probably agree with me. When you're awake, you're continuously thinking about something. There are things which are keeping you busy. But we've got to keep the right things in our head. And if there are things which are not what we shouldn't do, we immediately must send them back and say, we're not interested in it. I don't want to have those type of thoughts. We immediately have got to send it back and we say, we only are giving food to the good tree, that the good tree can grow. And the bad tree doesn't get any food and it will die. If we put verse 5 again, it says, setting our minds is the key priority. Rick Warren wrote a book, The Purpose-Driven Life. It's one of those famous books which you most probably all of you have seen it or read it or heard about it. I just want to read the first few sentences in his book. It's not about you. The purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even happiness. It's far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you were placed on the planet, you must begin with God. You were born by his purpose and for his purpose. The conclusion, it's all about God. It's not about us. We are here for God. And for that reason, God has got to be on our mind continuously. I want to tell a little bit of a story which I read, which is telling us maybe a little bit of how that person or both persons are actually experiencing God and how God is, how they see God and how they were seeking God. It's about a little boy who wanted to meet God, and he decided he's going to try and see if he can meet God. So he took his suitcase, put some, let's make it easy, some stroopwafels, he put it in it, and he put some fruit juice as well, and he said, okay, I'm going to walk, I'm going to seek God. So he walked a few blocks, and then he came to a place. He said, okay, he wants to drink a little bit of his fruit juice. So he stopped, he opened up, and he wanted to drink some of his fruit juice. But then there was an old man sitting next to him who was giving some food to the pigeons in the park over there. And then he had a look at the man, and he thought, but okay, but this man looks a little bit hungry. I'll give him a little bit of my stroopwafels. This man can get something to eat. So he gave something to the man received it, and he gave him a big smile, the man to the young boy. And the young boy thought, okay, but if he's giving me such a big smile for the stroopwafels, I'll give him a little bit of a fruit juice as well. Gave him a little bit of the fruit juice. The man again gave a big smile to that young boy. And the boy was very happy because this man is now smiling for him. And there they sat the whole afternoon. They polished everything what was in it. They didn't say a word to each other, but they were just smiling to each other. They were just enjoying each other's companionship. And then the boy became aware and said, yeah, but said by himself, he said, okay, but wait a moment, it's getting a little bit dark. I better get home. So it was a clever boy. So he went home, and as he walked into his house over there, his mom said, what did you make today? What did you do? Because you look so happy. And then he said, I had lunch with God. And before his mom actually could react, the young boy said, and God had the most beautiful smile I've ever seen. The same is that the elderly man also went to his house. And then his son was over there. His son asked him exactly the same question. What did you do today? What made you so happy? And he said, I had stroopwafels and fruit juice with God. And before his son actually could answer it, he said, you know, he's much younger than what I thought he would be. So both of them were experiencing a presence of God, which was just sharing, but just being in the same place and enjoying each other's companionship. I've started in the beginning with two questions. Have you arrived according to God's KPA? Am I close enough to God? And what is the percentage? If there's a percentage, what is the percentage what God is asking us to pass in exams? That we are saved, and that we are safe. Now you can evaluate yourself, because what's happening in the world, somebody else is evaluating you. But I'm going to ask you, evaluate yourself. Think a little bit about it. Are you complying with God's KPIs? Are you reaching the goals what he set for you? If you have to give yourself a percentage, would it be a pass or a fail? But don't worry, we're not going to talk about it. I'm not going to ask you to say, okay, what is your own percentage? Because I've got good news. It's not about the KPIs. It's not about the key performance appraisals. It's not about the percentages. But it's our mind. That's what counts. It has got to be continuously about God. That's what Jesus started over there with the first scriptures. He quoted God, he quoted God. You've got to hear his words. You've got to listen to him. We shouldn't tempt God. We've got to do exactly the same. That's what Paul is writing over there as well. We've got to be spirit-led. We've got to be that we can walk according to the Spirit. Because what we couldn't do, God did it. And setting our mind, that is the key priority. It has got to be continuously about God. We cannot spend time on other things. Because then we are failing. That's the good news. Forget about the percentage. You're not going to get a failed figure or anything like that. Or you're not going to get a report that you didn't reach the goals. It's not about that. It's about where are you keeping your mind busy with. And that you can determine yourself in your own time. Am I spending time with God? Am I open to listen to God? Am I spirit-filled? Am I being led by the Spirit? Am I open to hear from the Spirit? Or is it that I'm going my way and I'm just asking God, it's in every time when I'm doing something, to ask him to bless the things that I'm busy with? If we're doing what God is telling us to do, it will be blessed. And there's more good news. You're not alone. As what Marco just now said, I want to agree. When we had a family day yesterday, we were a family. And this is what we hear as well. We are a family. You're not on your own. It's not on your own that you've got to fight and battle to get your time, that you can spend time with God and that you can hear God. You've got a family around you. You've got brothers and sisters who also want to hear what God is telling them to do. We can talk about it on a Sunday. We can talk about it in small group. We're listening to God's voice with the intercession on a Tuesday. We're continuously busy to hear what God is telling us, and we are open for that. We want to hear what God is telling us. We want to be your family around you over here. Let's stand. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we actually could be told again this afternoon that it has got to be about you. Father, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Nothing else, Father. And we know there are things in our lives which are trying to get our mind away, and where the enemy is trying to disturb us, that we are not focusing on you, that we're not spending time with you. But Father, we want to seek your face. From as what we open up our eyes in the morning till what we close them in the evening, that you are on our mind continuously. That we're not spending our mind, our thoughts, but things of the world. But that we focus on you, Father, because that has got eternal life. The other things, it all stops at a certain end. If it's a car, if it's a house, if it's our degree, if it is our family, whatever it is, it stops at a certain time. But that relationship with you, Father, is going to carry on, and it's going to continue forever and ever. Thank you, Father, that you're reminding us again that our lives should be all about you, Father. Nothing, nothing else. And we thank you that we can be in that relationship with you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.